We're going to start a series this morning, and actually the series is going to be on prayer. It's kind of personal for me. In the last couple of years, I have been more intentional about improving my prayer life. Again, I've been more intentional about improving my prayer life. I don't think we can pray enough. And I know before I was not praying enough, and I know now I've been praying more the last couple of years. I'm still not praying enough. But the Lord was placing a call on my heart, which He's done a few times in my life. And I wasn't listening to Him. That sermon last week about listening, that was as much for me as it was for anybody, because I'm often not very good at listening. Part of prayer is listening. The most important thing about prayer is being diligent. The most important thing about prayer is actually praying. Actually spending time communicating with the Lord. So again, it's a personal message again, because it's one that's taken me a while to really understand, not necessarily the importance of prayer. I've always known how important prayer is, but it's taken me a while to be disciplined in my prayer life. When you pray, things happen. The Lord's still in the prayer answering business. He's still answering prayers every day. And I thought a great way to start a prayer series is by focusing on the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray. And I'm going to read that prayer again. I'm going to read the scripture. And it's going to come from Matthew 6, 9 through 15. Megan just sang it. I'm going to pray it as I read it, and then I'm going to preach it. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, again, just thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for this opportunity to focus on your word, Lord, to apply it to our lives, Lord. I just pray that you speak through me, Lord, if not, speak in spite of me, Lord. And I pray that everything we do here today honors and glorifies you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 15. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Jesus is our teacher. And a good teacher will model something. A good teacher will give an example. A good teacher will tell you the way something should be done, and then they'll show you. And then if you apply it to your life, it can change your life. That's the way we learn. We learn by doing. We learn by following great examples. And then we learn by doing. That's why we pray this prayer. You see, I'm going to spend the next few Sundays talking about how important this communication with God is. Because we've been on a mission to grow our relationship with Christ, and a big part of that relationship is communication. You see, as I started thinking about prayer and as I started preparing this sermon, I've been working on a few sermons for prayer the last several weeks. And I wasn't sure when I was going to start it. And I talked to a few people this week, and they said, you know, man, we need prayer so much right now. And we do. Our nation is divided. We still have a pandemic going on. We still have so many things going on that we don't understand. We need to be in prayer. We need to be looking for guidance from the Lord. We need to be looking for that guidance. So I think the next few weeks as we pray, you know, we're looking forward to coming back into our church building next week. We're looking forward to other things happening, we need to be in constant prayer. We have people want to do some ministries in this church, in this community. I've prayed with some people that want to start a few things new. I can't wait. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about starting new things. But if you're wanting to start something new, if you're wanting to start a ministry, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to pray about it, then talk about it. Once you pray about it, then once you relay it to somebody and say, hey, this is an idea I have, it starts to become real. It starts to become real. So if the Lord's leading you somewhere where you want to start something new, I would love to listen to you. I'd love to hear your ideas. I love to hear how the Lord's working in other people's life. And we do this through prayer. But today I want to specifically look at the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that He taught us how to pray. And when I look at it, I see that it's divided into two main sections. And those sections are, or within those two sections, we make seven petitions. The first section, we make three petitions, and they're requests for God Himself and God in His kingdom. The first one is actually, Thy name be hallowed. The second one is, Thy kingdom come. The third is, Thy will be done. And then we start to transition from God in heaven to God with us on earth. Give us our bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. And the seventh one is, deliver us from evil. And I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about each one of these. And I'm going to talk about how these seven petitions apply to our lives. The first one is, Our Father. Our Father. See, the beginning of this prayer, we look at God as not just being a majestic, impersonal being who created the universe. We look at Him as that, but we also look at Him as our Father. He's our God. He's my God. He's your God. He's there for each one of us. Our Father. It makes it personal. You see, He's both transcendent over the universe, but He's also walking here with us right now. We feel His presence right now. Our Father, which art in heaven. Psalm 145:18 says, The Lord is nigh unto all those that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. You see, we're a part of that all. We're a part of that all. When we call on the Lord, He's listening. When we call on the Father, He's there to listen. He's there to hear our petitions. Psalm 34:15 says, The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are upon their cry. He's ready to hear our cries. He's ready to hear us when we're in despair. He's ready to hear us when things are going good. You see, the Lord's close unto them that are brokenhearted, and He saves such of them in contrite spirit. In other words, when we're happy, we should be praying. When we're sad, we should be praying. When things are going great, we should be praying. When things are not going great, we should be praying. We should constantly be praying and listen for direction from the Lord. And we start to see in the New Testament, we transition to referring to God as the Father. We start referring to God as the Father because He is the Father. We have one God, but we have three distinctive personalities of God. We've got the Father, we've got the Son, we've got the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father. You see, and that makes it, again, it's our Father. That says there's a relationship between us and the Father. And the only way we can have that relationship is through His Son. His Son walked the earth. He taught us this prayer. And that's how we're in relationship with Him. You see, in this verse, we're taught to pray our Father. Not just a Father, but our Father. My Father. Your Father. Our Father. And we recognize where He is. Our Father which art in heaven. Our Father that's in heaven, we're praying to You. We're calling out to You. And then the next part is, hallowed be Your name. In other words, we're saying He's holy. We're recognizing the fact that He's holy. We're praising Him. We're showing a commitment to honor Him when we say hallowed or holy. We're giving Him the respect that He deserves when we call Him holy. And we do it for us. We got to remind ourselves how holy He is, how hallowed He is, how He is our personal Lord. We got to remind ourselves of that. When I was growing up, I was pretty shy. I was pretty shy, and I like to relate this part right here to sometimes I would run out of stuff to say. I know it's hard to believe now that I was ever shy, but I really was. When I started dating Rhonda, I didn't say a lot. And if we were on a date, sometimes I would forget what to say, so I'd just look at her and I'd say, "Gosh, you're beautiful." That's never a wrong answer. "Man, you look beautiful this morning. You look beautiful this afternoon." And finally she questioned me. She said, "Are you running out of stuff to say to me?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm not saying that for your benefit." I said, "I'm saying it for mine. I'm so blessed to have you. I'm so blessed that you would go on a date with me. I've got to remind myself of that. I know you know how pretty you are. You got a mirror." In the same way, yeah, we're addressing the Lord as being holy, as being mighty. He knows He is. The Lord knows who He is, but we got to remind ourselves who He is. It's for us. It's for us. We get to have a relationship with Him, and He's holy. We're not holy. The only way we can be holy is through Jesus. You see, God's name is a reflection of who He is. The third part is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." You see, here, we're reminding ourselves, we're praying to God, but we're reminding ourselves that things don't just happen by chance. We truly want His kingdom to come here on earth. We truly want His kingdom to come in our lives. We don't live in a world where it's just que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, we have a Lord that's in control of everything. We have a Lord that wants to help us in our daily life. He wants to bring His kingdom to our lives. And you look at the world today, you think, how can that be? You look at all the evil in the world. You look at all the, again, the division in the world. And how can that be? Well, I can tell you how it can be. You can affect the kingdom come in your life. That's the start, is you let the Lord's kingdom come in your life. Once you do that, you can help other people have the Lord's kingdom come in their life. And once you do that, you can get another person to help someone's the kingdom come in their life. And then all of a sudden, we're going to start making a difference. But it has to start with us. It has to start with you. It has to start with me. I can't change the whole world if I'm not willing to change myself. I can't ask the whole world to submit to doing something if I'm not willing to do it myself. I have to start with me. Thy kingdom come means I'm going to apply what the Lord has taught me to my life every day. Again, it's a personal thing. If you want to affect the world, you got to affect yourself first. You have to let the Lord work in your life first. You see, we're imperfect beings. We have to strive every day to be more like Christ. We have to use Christ as our example because we're not perfect. You see, He's still working in your life. He's still working in my life. He's still working in the life of this church. He's still working in the life of this community. He don't want us just to exist. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to make a difference. He wants us to make a difference in the world, not the world make a difference in us. He wants us to make a difference in the world, not the world make a difference in us. Romans 12:2 tells us to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, God's will is good. It's pleasing. It's perfect. When we let His will, when we let His kingdom come in our life, we can make a difference. We can make a difference every day. You see, He wants us to live as victorious people. He wants us to live out our salvation. He wants us to live out what He came to do. When we're doing that, we're bringing His kingdom here. We're showing people that the Lord's kingdom has come. We're asking for things to be done in my life like they're done in heaven. We want things to be done in my life like they're done in heaven. Again, once we do that, we are a great reflection of God. We can actually model how we're supposed to live and what it means for the kingdom of heaven to be with us. You see, we pray that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, He can and will and is continuing to work in our lives. He's still continuing to work in the world. No matter what things are going on in the world, He's still in control. He's still answering prayers. He's still working in our lives. Our fourth petition is to give us our daily bread. To give us our daily bread. And our daily bread here is referring to our needs. Give us our needs. Give us what we need to live. You see, we've got to trust God daily to provide for us what we live. Yeah, we need bread. We need to eat. But we also need spiritual food. We also need for Him to provide us that spiritual food that we need every day. Some mornings are really good. I'm in prayer. I'm on my way to school. I'm in prayer. And man, I feel it. Sometimes it's tougher. I got to say, Lord, give me what I need. Give me what I need to be a good example to my students. Give me what I need to be a good example to what I'm to what You want me to be today. Lord, just be with me. Give me my needs. I can't do it on my own. When I go trying to find things that I need, I start finding things I want. You know what I need. Give them to me. That's our plea. I drink coffee on the way to work, but we also need spiritual coffee. If Andrew's listening, I don't know if he's here, but he will get that. But we need spiritual coffee. We need spiritual coffee every day. You see, we're blessed so we can bless other people. Once we're fed with what we need, we can take what the Lord's blessed us with. We can share it. You see, Abraham was blessed that he might be a blessing. John 10:10 tells us that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. He's blessed us with more than we need. We've got to share it. So as He gives us our daily bread, we've got to share that daily bread. We've got to share it with other people because they're in the same life that we're in. They may be at a different point with their relationship, but they need to be encouraged. When we receive that encouragement from the Lord, we're supposed to be a blessing to other people. And we're supposed to let other people know where it comes from. It don't come from Stacy. It only comes from God. In John 3:30, it says we must become smaller and He must become greater. In other words, we must recognize where our blessings come from. I like to say there needs to be more of grace and less of Stace. In other words, I need to recognize where the good things are in my life. They don't come from me, they come from Him. The fifth petition we make in this prayer is for us to be forgiven of our sins, or forgiven of our trespasses, or forgiven of our debts, as we forgive others. That's tough. Forgiving people sometimes is tough, but we want forgiveness, but sometimes we're not willing to offer that forgiveness. You see, the word debt means sin or transgressions. Jesus tells us in Matthew 18:21-22 how many times we're supposed to forgive. Some translations say seven, some say 7 times 70. It's a whole bunch. Don't count. If you start counting, you're messing up. Don't count, just forgive. Quit counting and just forgive. If you start counting, then it means you're probably not doing it right. Quit counting and just forgive. It's difficult to forgive others. It really is. Again, we want our forgiveness, but it's difficult to forgive others. And sometimes we ask the Lord for forgiveness, then we go back to what we were doing. It's because we're humans. We've got to continually ask for that forgiveness, which means we've got to continually forgive other people. We've got to continually forgive other people. Usually, when we forgive somebody, or not usually, but often, if we're truly not over it, there's a word after, I forgive you. That word's but. I forgive you, but. And you remind that person of that wrong they did to you. Just say, I forgive you. No buts, I forgive you. I forgive you. Some advice that I was given a while ago, and I've actually given other people, is if you're in an argument and you're wrong, you need to own up to it. You need to own up to it. You need to ask for that forgiveness. It's hard to do sometimes. But when you're wrong, you own up. And when you're right, this is the hard part. When you're right, you shut up. You don't rub it in. You don't remind it. You say, hey, you know what? It's all good. And you go on. So when you're wrong, you own up. And when you're right, you shut up. See, forgiveness is not cheap. We can't just nonchalantly say, I forgive you. We have to truly mean it. When we ask for forgiveness, we can't just nonchalantly say, forgive me, and then go right back to what we're doing. We need to strive to do better. The sixth and seventh petitions that we make, I'm going to talk about them together. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, here we're asking the Lord to kind of watch out for us. We know the Lord will not tempt us. James 1, 13 and 14 says, let no man say when he's tempted, I have tempted from God, because God does not tempt us. What it's saying right here is, Lord, help us recognize when we're being tempted. Sometimes temptation looks pretty attractive. Sometimes we don't see anything wrong with the temptation. We're asking the Lord right there, help us recognize this temptation. Help us recognize when we need to call on you to keep us away from this thing that we want to do, because you need to deliver us from evil. You need to deliver us from evil. I can't do it on my own. Help me recognize the temptation and help me say no and help deliver me from evil. Again, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief is the devil. He's wanting to destroy our life. Lord, help me recognize when he's trying to destroy me, which is always. Help me recognize the ways he's trying to destroy me and deliver me from that. I can't do it on my own. I have to rely on the Lord. So we have to pray. To be able to resist that temptation, we have to pray. We have to pray. It's hard to sin and pray at the same time. So when you're tempted, pray. Pray. Again, recognize where it comes from. Sin is sin. We know where sin comes from. We've got to recognize it. Again, God, watch out for me. Keep me away from those temptations. Help me recognize those temptations. Lord, help me be strong. You see, we're asking for deliverance from Satan when we're asking that. We're saying, Lord, deliver us from the devil. Don't let us fall for his traps. You see, the word deliver can be spare us or deliver us. It can be, hey, help keep me from doing that. Or, Lord, I'm caught up in this sin. Deliver me from it. It's got me trapped. Help me get out of it. Have you ever been trapped in sin? Call on the Lord. The Lord is there to deliver you. You see, the Greek word is actually translated to both meanings. To deliver us from sin that we're already in, but also to keep us away from sin. You see, we've got to recognize that without Him, without prayer, without relying on Him, we're helpless. But Jesus has the power to deliver us. That deliverance comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. Do you need delivered this morning? Do you need delivered this morning? If we need deliverance, we know where to get it. We need to call on the Lord. If you're here this morning, you need to be delivered from your sin. I ask you right now to fall on your knees and pray. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'm glad to pray with you. But if you need to be delivered this morning, I don't want you to leave here without being delivered from your sin. I really want you to call on the Lord and say, Lord, please deliver me. Do you need delivered this morning? Again, if you do, don't leave here until you pray. Because, you see, God's still in the delivering business. He's still in the delivering business. He wants to save you from your sins. If you're here today and you need that deliverance, I pray with you. I'll pray for you. And I'll pray with you right now. It's I love you. The Lord loves us more than we can even imagine. He wants to deliver us. And if you need that comfort this morning, please call on Him. Please let me know. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, again, just thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to call on you. Lord, thank you so much for delivering us from ourselves, Lord. Thank you for delivering us from Satan. Thank you for delivering us from all the snares that we get ourselves into, Lord. And you're willing to forgive us over and over again, Lord. Help us forgive others. Help us to forgive others, Lord. I pray this morning that there's someone here that needs to be delivered, Lord, that they call on you, Lord, and I know that you'll give them that deliverance, Lord. I just, again, just thank you for your presence here. Thank you for Chestnut Hill United Methodist Church. Thank you for this community. And thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Again, thank you for being here. It's awesome to see you. I ask you that when you leave, if you'll go down this way, there'll be somebody there. If you feel led to give your tithe or offering, there'll be someone there to take it. And Rebecca will be there with the forms for the nut orders. And again, if you want a flu shot next Sunday, if you'll let me or Becky know, I'll see how many doses that Ashlyn needs to bring. And again, just thank you so much for being here with us. I love you. I'm going to offer a benediction. Lord, go with us now. Lord, help us. Help us deliver the good news, Lord. Help us be a part of your kingdom coming here, Lord. Just work in our lives, Lord, that we can be a reflection of you. In Jesus' name, amen.